Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I explore ideas and strategies. I might share a blueprint for something or a framework for something else. I interview experts and I tell stories about the things that worked for me, but also those big epic fails that I've made along the way. And all because I truly believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And we talk a lot about this idea of what does it mean to prepare students to be those problem solvers and creative thinkers in an uncertain world, right? I've talked about the idea that the corporate ladder has become a maze, and our students will need to navigate that uncertain maze in an age of generative AI. It's a topic I got into in my book, The AI Roadmap. It's a topic that I've covered a lot on my blog. If you go to spencerauthor.com, you'll see a little tab called the AI Resource Hub or something along the lines of that. It's got the word hub in it. And I have a bunch of different articles and free resources and a free ebook and all kinds of different stuff that you can access, a bunch of sketch videos. And it's all because I truly believe that we need to be intentional and proactive and wise about our approach to AI with students. And that's a topic we're going to be getting into in today's episode. But first, I want to give a quick word from our sponsor. I'd like to tell you about a tool I found that will change how students find and learn about science. And honestly, I think they can learn about a lot of different topics as well. It's a search engine specializing in science questions called ConsenSys. Every answer shows you exactly which scientific paper the information comes from. You can search things in plain English, ask questions, and add instructions for the answer to be simplified, formatted, or even made into something like a rhyme or a limerick. I don't necessarily recommend that, but it is fantastic as a Q&A tool. I want you to imagine a version of Google Scholar combined with ChatGPT that high schoolers can easily use, and it's 100% reliable and based on actual research papers. AI is fundamentally changing how humans find, understand, and interact with information. The problem is that many LLMs, like ChatGPT, are trained on the whole internet, including misinformation, and we don't necessarily see the exact source of what it's telling us. Therefore, we have things like hallucinations, where it's just going to make stuff up. ConsenSys is a little different. It's powered by AI, but grounded in science. ConsenSys only uses the 200 million scientific research papers in its database to create answers. And it clearly shows you which papers contribute to an answer, so you can go and actually read those papers yourself. Researchers and students from over 5,000 schools and universities worldwide already use ConsenSys. Search ConsenSys for free. Go to consensus.app and let your curiosity guide you. The ConsenSys mission is to democratize access to the world's best information. So again, check out consensus.app and learn more about it. We often talk about the need for students to have voice and choice in their learning. We want them to engage in meaningful, productive struggle as they do things like project-based learning, as they engage in problem solving, as they imagine and think and come up with new ideas. But where does AI fit into this? Well, in past episodes, we've explored how AI can function as a co-creation tool. We've looked at what it means to use AI in project-based learning. But what about the issue of academic integrity? Well, in this week's article and podcast episode, we're exploring what it means to promote academic integrity in the age of generative AI. And I share this because one of the most common questions I hear about AI and chatbots in particular is, how do we keep students from using it to cheat? I've heard this question from teachers all around the U.S. and in other parts of the world, actually, in a few cases, in the keynotes and workshops that I conduct. It's one of the comments that I get from people who have read my book. It's a big question that people have. I see this question arise with the pre-service teachers that I work with in my cohort at the university where I work. And they want to see students develop as writers, and they worry about what happens when the AI does the writing for them. I've seen TikTok videos and Instagram videos and YouTube videos from frustrated teachers who have had it enough with the copy and paste element from ChatGPT. I've seen hacks where teachers put some white text, right? And then that basically becomes their own AI detection. The students just copy and paste the white text. They don't see it. The AI picks it up. And then there's some unrelated piece added into the essay, and it proves that the kids just use ChatGPT. Although now a lot of students are paying attention to it, they've discovered that hack and they're looking out for it, which is kind of a reminder that we often have this cat and mouse game when it comes to things like cheating, using AI for those purposes, to do the work for you, right? Collectively, I see it all around. Educators are frustrated. We want students to develop as writers, but we also want them to engage in learning through writing. And we know that entirely AI-generated text will short-circuit that learning process. And just saying you should do the work because you're robbing from yourself, no, kids don't necessarily listen to that. And if a shortcut exists, then they're going to sometimes choose the shortcut, which then short-circuits the learning. Now, some teachers have responded by going old school and bringing back things like the blue books. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that used to be the way things were done, or just making sure students write by hand. And that presents its own challenges. I'm not going to get into all of that here. Some have moved away from writing and they've shifted to things like audio or video responses. And some teachers have actually embraced AI as an integrated part of the writing process. But the reality is this: wherever you are on this, generative AI has introduced new challenges to academic integrity, and it's easier than ever to create original content with minimal human effort. Simply type in a well-crafted prompt and you end up with a text that could pass for student work. It's harder than ever to actually detect AI-generated content, and educational institutions are scrambling with how to respond to this new threat to academic integrity. And yet, it's not entirely a new threat. Sometimes it helps to look backward at the larger issue of plagiarism and then consider how things are similar and different than they were in the past. So my first thought is this: academic integrity has always been an issue. Look, this is not a new phenomenon. Certain students have always leveraged whatever available technology exists to cheat in school. Case in point, when I was in the fifth grade, I fell behind on a research paper, so I literally copied an entire section straight out of the encyclopedia. I reworded a few sentences to try to pass it off as my own voice, and there was no Turnitin to check my work, but my teacher caught me and I learned a valuable lesson. We didn't have the internet. My computer interaction was limited to avoiding dysentery on the Oregon Trail when we visited the school's computer lab, and there were like four of us per every single Apple II. Now, when I was in college, I knew certain students who would buy actual papers off the internet. The technology had changed, but the impulse to cheat was basically the same. As a new teacher, I had students who would copy and paste entire paragraphs from websites and try to pass those off as their own work. When earlier forms of AI came out, things like PhotoMath, for example, students used these tools to complete entire math homework assignments, and we as a department were left scratching our heads saying, "What do we do about this?" However, it's easy to miss just how often cheating happens without any technological aids at all. In my pre-calculus class, I think I was a junior in high school, We regularly traded math homework and copied problems from one another, making slight changes so the teacher wouldn't catch us. I'm not proud of that. It actually makes me cringe a little bit to think about that. But I share that story as a reminder that cheating isn't limited to technology. When a student doesn't do any work in a group project but still earns a grade, well, that's a form of cheating. When a student peeks at another student's test, well, that's also a form of cheating. And those things are not text dependent. Again, cheating isn't dependent on the technology. But there is a second core idea I want to get to, which is this. Technology does change the ways that students can cheat. Teach phonics. To be clear, technology doesn't lead to cheating, but it does change the ways that students cheat on their work. In terms of generative AI, the reality is this. Cheating has become faster and harder to detect. For over a decade, technologists had honed plagiarism detectors to this ridiculous level of accuracy, and teachers often integrated those tools into their learning management systems. But that's not the case anymore. We can clearly see that something like a Turnitin is not going to do it for you. Over the last year, we've seen this proliferation of AI detection programs to detect AI by analyzing a piece of writing and detecting whether it was human generated. Within a minute, you receive this score describing exactly how much of your work has been generated by AI. And it's clear, it gives you a precise number. Oddly enough, these programs are themselves a form of AI. The complex algorithm looks at a series of factors to determine if the work it's looking at is AI generated. So in a way, we're using AI to catch AI, which I think is basically the main premise of Blade Runner. But going back to this, AI detection programs look for patterns in our writing. They look for the things that distinctly make the writing human. And then if the writing fails to do so, it flags it as being AI generated. I see a problem with this from the get-go. One is that many of the students that I've taught who are multilingual students don't have the same verb tense variety or changes in number of words as a native English speaker. And so already I've seen that many of those students, especially those who used sentence stems that are a valid, you know, important scaffold for their learning, end up getting flagged. So your most vulnerable students in writing can get flagged as using AI. And to me, that is very, very dangerous. I've actually tested dozens of these programs, and I gotta be honest, I have not been impressed by the results. What I've seen is that they promise a really high level of accuracy, but what I find in my experience is that there are many false positives and actually many people getting flagged as having AI-generated work when it's actually entirely human. I use pieces of work of my own that has never been published anywhere, for example. I've used some student work with permission. And again, I've tested these things and I found that the promise of a 98 or a 94 or whatever percent accuracy rate is often in ideal conditions. But when I've used them, I've seen that they've been closer to that 80 to 90% range. But I want you to imagine what it looks like if we have something like a 94% accuracy rate. So to put it into perspective, imagine there's a teacher with 6 class periods that each have 30 students. Throughout a semester, the students submit 5 essays. That's pretty realistic, right? If that teacher uses an AI detection software with a success rate of 94%, this will mean that up to 54 students will be either falsely accused of cheating or they will get away with cheating. That is really problematic. And you might have some students being falsely accused multiple times. And this is just 54 instances of being wrong. That to me is really scary. When we focus our accountability measures on catching cheaters, We entrust these advanced algorithms to judge the academic integrity of our students instead of centering it on human judgment. And I find that to be really, really problematic. Imagine a student who wrote something entirely from scratch, only to find out that they failed a class and maybe even faced academic probation because a robot sucks at determining what's human. I'm not okay with that. All right, so where do we go from here? I think there's a few approaches that we can do. The first is that we need to take a proactive approach to academic integrity. What does this look like? We can start by teaching students what it means to use AI as a co-creation tool in a way that avoids cognitive atrophy. I had a previous podcast episode that was all about this idea of productive struggle, cognitive atrophy, and the big question of when it's okay to use AI. Well, I think we need to have those conversations with our students so that they can grow and learn from it. With older students, we can integrate AI into the writing process in a way that requires students to do more than merely copy and paste a text. When I think back to the time I cheated in my fifth grade research paper, I legitimately thought I had changed enough of the words to make it my own. I didn't know that that was plagiarism. I know that sounds silly, but as a fifth grader, that's what I thought people did. I didn't see it as wrong, and I was shocked when I was called up to the front of the class at the end of the school day. Similarly, many of my students who had copied and pasted full paragraphs into the blog post they were writing had assumed that if they simply changed a couple of words, they were good. And this was a chance for me to model the research process and help them learn how to paraphrase. So I think what we can do in this proactive approach is model this co-creation process in writing. Here's what it looks like. I'm just going to give a sample that you might think of. Imagine a high school English class or maybe a high school history class. During pre-writing, students can use sketch notes, drawings, and texts, and all of this is being done by hand on paper. These low-tech options help students write in a way that makes the learning visible. Afterwards, students might use AI to clarify misconceptions. And here they're going to use a chatbot as a Q&A tool to ask questions and get follow-up questions. One of my favorite ways to do this is to teach them how to do prompt engineering using what I call the facts cycle. So F is formulate a question, they learn how to ask great questions. A is acquire a tool, so there's a lot of different AI tools they could use. One of my favorite, like I mentioned before, the sponsor from today, I absolutely love using Consensus as an app because it's going to give them peer-reviewed articles to look at. But that's the A, it's acquire a tool. C is create context. You actually give them the opportunity to let the chatbot know the context of what it needs to know to answer the prompt. So I love using the Raft format, you know, letting the AI know the role, the audience, the format, and then for T, I actually use tone rather than topic. The T is for the typing of the prompt, so they type their prompt in, and then S is where they scrutinize their answers, and this is a chance to look at bias, look at relevance, factual accuracy. They might evaluate text construction, tone, language, any of those things. So they're going through all of that pre-writing phase. But that's just the pre-writing. Now we get into the research. And in the research, they're in all likelihood going to create their own research questions, but they might use AI to get feedback on their questions, or they might use AI to come up with some sample questions or some sentence frames to help them with the research process. And as they read various articles, they might go back to something like the Consensus app to clarify information. They might use it to help summarize information, to clarify things, to maybe look at vocabulary words that they don't understand. In some cases, they might use AI to look at an old primary source and change the reading level of the actual document. And in this moment, really, we're using AI as a learning tool and not so much a co-creation tool, but a tool to help them gain the conceptual understanding they need during research. During outlining, students are going to outline by hand. They're going to do a hand-drawn web. They might use note cards. Again, you want it very tactile in a physical format. And you might not use AI very much, but you might use AI after they've come up with an outline and give the prompt, what am I missing from this outline, or what should I add to this? As we move to the actual writing, you know, for this particular assignment, you might have students write everything on their own. It's human generated, but they might use AI to do some autofill. They might use AI to get feedback in the moment with something like Grammarly. They might, in some cases though, you might actually let them start with some AI generated text that they then heavily modify on their own. And I'll be sharing that process here in just a bit. And then with editing, it's a great tool for getting feedback. It's a great tool for getting suggestions, getting reports for how you're doing, getting quantitative data for, you know, what words am I repeating, whatever it may be. It's a powerful tool. And the key thing here is that students are using AI in a way where they get to ask for the feedback that they want on their writing. Now, although we can help students learn this process, and it's important, that's not necessarily going to fix the problem of academic integrity, right? If we want students to demonstrate academic integrity, at a minimum, they need to know what it looks like to use generative AI ethically. And over time, this grows into a mindset or a habit, but even then, there will be, on occasion, times where students use AI to cheat. And so the other aspect of being preventative and proactive is getting to the heart of why students cheat. The following are some questions I ask myself as a professor to try to make sense out of why cheating might happen in my class. And this really does help me come up with better assignments. Is it a lack of scaffolds and supports? What type of supports could I make available for my students? Is there a lack of clarity on the directions? One of my favorite things to have students do is annotate an assignment so that they write down any questions they have, any clarifying questions, they answer one another's questions, and it lets me know if there is a lack of clarity on the assignment directions. Is the issue motivation? Are the students bored with the assignments? Do they see it as meaningless busy work? Are the students struggling with productive struggle? Are they giving up too early and they just want to use AI to do the work for them so they don't have to struggle? If it's homework, are they busy with extracurricular activities? Are they struggling with time management? You know, I obviously teach adults, and so is there something going on with their family, with their job, with whatever, and they feel swamped and they feel like this will be a time saver for them? Is it an issue of self-efficacy? Are students worried about getting a bad grade and so they're going to use AI to do some of the thinking for them? Now, I want to be clear. These questions don't excuse cheating. Nothing excuses cheating. It is always wrong to cheat. But by getting to the heart of why students cheat, I can then tackle some of these issues by changing my course systems and structures. While we can focus on crafting meaningful and engaging assignments, though, it's naive to think that we as educators can prevent all of these issues from happening, right? The truth is students are going to look for shortcuts. It's going to happen. This was true a century ago. It's going to be true a century from now. It's definitely true in an age of AI. Cheating is going to happen. And there are no easy answers to fixing the issue of academic integrity entirely. Our best bet as educators is to lean into both trust and transparency, though. See, trust without transparency leads to naive optimism. This is what happens when a teacher says, if this is an engaging lesson, I trust that students won't cheat. Well, unfortunately, students are going to cheat. It's a reality. Transparency without trust, though, often leads to this punitive form of surveillance, which is what I think happens when we use those AI detection software systems. And this is the problem with trying to constantly catch cheaters and then ask them to prove themselves innocent. It leads to a loss of trust. So I want to share an example of what this actually looks like in writing. A trust-based transparency, right, where we want to see student work, but we also trust them, would be to have students do all of their work on a shared document like a Google Doc, and then color code the text that was generated by AI. Now, what this does is it creates an immediate visual showing how one uses generative AI in writing, and the use of things like timestamps allows for this extra layer of transparency. It's saying to students, I trust you, but I still need to see your work, and that's okay. So here's how this works. I want you to imagine a continuum from machine on one side to human on the other. And on the left side, you have the first level, level one, AI generated, and that is going to be in blue. So all of the text is going to be in blue. But then if it is AI generated and you revised it by your own human interaction, all of those revisions that you make to the blue text is now going to be green. So we have blue and then green. And then we get into human generated but edited by AI. So this might be something where you wrote it from scratch, but you use spell check, you use Grammarly, you use something like that. Well, in that moment, you are going to use something along the lines of pink or fuchsia. I'm not going to debate what color that actually is. And then all the work that you do from scratch that's in black is going to be human generated with no modifications. Now, as a professor, I can look at an assignment and see in a very clear visual way the interplay between the AI and the human. I can see the way an AI-generated idea sparked a new line of thinking and led to something that became fully human. And I can also see how students created significant modifications to an AI-related text. I have loved this process. And so it's one of my favorite ways of centering it on trust and transparency. The last thing that we can do is we can engage students in a dialogue about academic integrity. So we can do things like a Socratic seminar, a conversation. They could come up with group norms. I love the podcast episode I had with Ben Farrell, who talked about having his students come up with their own AI policy together as a school. Love that concept. But when it comes to AI, you can do these Socratic dialogues where you ask students to engage in a conversation with questions like, how do you define academic integrity? What is the difference between getting help and cheating? How do you think AI is currently impacting academic integrity at universities and schools? Like, what does that look like? How do you think it's changing, you know, the college level, the K-12 level? Can you provide examples of AI technologies and that detect AI, and what are the strengths and weaknesses of those? Do you think that they should be used in schools? What are the ethical considerations that students and teachers should take into account when using AI-powered tools in the classroom? You know, what is the danger in allowing AI to do too much of the thinking for you? Have you used AI as a learning tool? Have you played around with AI in terms of outside of school for image generation or for coming up with plans or whatever it may be? What role do you think policymakers and educational institutions, tech developers, everyone involved, all of those stakeholders, what should be their role in addressing the challenges posed by AI to academic integrity? Ultimately, though, cheating has been around for a long time, and it's not going away anytime soon. Meanwhile, AI will continue to evolve and change the potential approaches to the things that happen, like plagiarism. There's no quick fix solution, but by teaching students how to use it ethically, by modeling it, by helping them develop it as a mindset, by incorporating proactive approaches so that they're a little less tempted to cheat, by incorporating trust and transparency rather than just surveillance, and by engaging students in these dialogues, we can help students embrace academic integrity as a habit and a mindset. It will never be perfect, and that's okay. it's still worth doing, even if it is imperfect. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever it is that you are listening to this podcast? Again, leave a review, leave the stars, whatever it may be. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed to it, but you find it useful. That's also super duper helpful. And maybe tell a friend about it. That would be great. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.